Well, Labour did it. It defied the predictions of many and held on to the four seats it had up for grabs in the Super Saturday by-elections. The Liberals picked up none. The government didn't run candidates in Perth and Fremantle in its hopes of winning back Mayo in South Australia, with the high-profile candidate Georgina Downer, came to nothing. Rebecca Sharkey has increased her majority in Mayo for the Centre Alliance. And despite a big effort from the Liberal Party and from the Prime Minister personally, Susan Lamb, Labour's MP in Longman, and Justine Kay in Braddon have increased their majorities in holding those seats for Labour. Well, former Treasurer Wayne Swan is the Labour Party National President. He joins us now. Wayne Swan, I imagine it is a good morning.
Yeah, it certainly is. They're very encouraging results, and great credit to both candidates in Longman and in Braddon, but also to all of our candidates around the country, and a really big effort from the Labour Party and the Labour movement at a grassroots level. People power certainly drove our campaigns.
What does it mean for Bill Shorten?
Well, I think it's an emphatic rejection of Malcolm Turnbull and a rejection of all of the ludicrous speculation we've seen about leadership in recent times. I mean, Bill Shorten has led the party for 5 years. He's put forward a courageous program of policy reform. And there's been an unprecedented degree of unity and purpose in the party. He's been very successful, and he's won through again.
So no question he'll be leading them, the Labour Party, to the next election?
No question.
Now, let's look a little bit into the numbers there. Particularly Longman is really interesting. You're very familiar with this. It's a Queensland seat, very close to where you live.
And very close to where I grew up and where I moved through Longman all of the time.
So how do you explain what's happening there? The primary vote for the LNP candidate, the primary vote, dropped down to 28%.
Well, the Labor primary vote has increased by about four or five. It's now got a four in front of it. The Liberal primary vote collapsed by 10% and has now got a two in front of it. And the One Nation vote was the order of 16 or 17%, up from 9% in the last federal election. So you've seen a surge in the One Nation vote, largely at the expense of the Liberal vote, and a very strong surge, if you like, in the Labor vote, which is very, very encouraging. So essentially, this One Nation Liberal Party alliance that the Prime Minister has blessed has not worked well. And I think at a variety of levels, people around Australia will be observing with some revulsion, actually, particularly in Sydney and Melbourne, this alliance between One Nation and the Liberals, which didn't work well for them on the day in Longman. You don't see this feature in the other by-elections, but essentially the Liberal Party, with its program of trickle-down economics, has shed votes to the Labor Party because the Labor Party has been putting forward a program based on equality of opportunity and spreading of opportunity. And it's cost them votes also from the Liberals, but also in leakage to One Nation.
I noticed that Simon Benson, writing in the National Affairs Editor for the Australian newspaper, not generally seen as the strongest supporter out there in the media for the Labor Party, had this to say this morning: the message for the Turnbull government is dire. Queensland has abandoned it.
Yeah, well, it is a very dire result. There's no question about that. A dire result for the LNP in Queensland, and no question that there will be half a dozen at least federal LNP members in Queensland looking into a fairly bleak future, including one Peter Dutton, who's spent a lot of time sowing division and trying to be divisive in this by-election, not just in Longman but right around the country. And essentially, there's going to be some problems in his seat of Dixon
in the coming election. What would you expect the coalition to do? They're going to be looking at these numbers. They're seeing the same numbers you're reading, I'm reading, everyone in the country is reading. Do they move to the right to essentially try to neutralise that drift away to One Nation, particularly in Queensland? Or do they move back towards the centre-left, in a sense, to try to neutralise the Labor Party?
Well, they can't do that because
they can't do both.
Well, they put all of their eggs in a a program of extreme trickle-down economics. If you just look at it, and it's their only economic policy. Their economic policy is to give very significant tax cuts to large multinational corporations, as well as the big banks, to give very significant tax cuts to some of the highest personal income tax earners in the country, whilst at the same time presiding over a program of wage suppression through supporting cuts to wages through penalty rates, and because of their tax policies, implementing significant cuts to health and education. That is their program, and there is no way out of there. They're going to have to double down on that program and see if they can win the argument. They clearly lost it in Longman.
And so the fundamental message that Bill Shorten was carrying through these electorates, do voters want bigger hospitals or bigger banks? That'll be the message you carry to the next federal election.
Well, it's one of the messages. You see, essentially, the unease in the electorate about the Liberal Party is that they think inequality is good for us, and that the path ahead is if we give more to those at the top, it will magically trickle down and give more to everybody in the middle and below. Well, they didn't buy that argument in Longman in particular. Longman has a lower income level on average than most other electorates. It's got more people in precarious and insecure work. It's got a very large number of lower income retirees as well. All of those groups have been smashed by any number of policies put forward by the LNP.
Of course, we do have to remember these are by-elections. By-elections traditionally swing against governments. Do you still have a sense that there is a great deal of work to do to sustain your chances going into a federal
election? Because of course there's a lot of work to do, and we can't take this for granted in terms of the general election. We've got a huge amount of money arraigned against us in the forthcoming campaign. The business community was out there. The Business Council of Australia was out there campaigning in these seats against the Labor Party. So we're under no illusions that the beneficiaries of the unfair policy program of the LNP are going to be doubling down on their efforts to stop the election of a Labor government. But I'll just make this point about the swing. The median swing in seats like this, where there has been a by-election caused by an opposition member having to stand down, the median swing in history is 1%. It's not the sort of figure that's been floating around. And we achieved a swing of 4% on the primary vote in this election. So it was an extremely good outcome for us in historical terms.
I want to look at Mayo briefly, if I could. Labor wasn't a factor in this particularly. This was a fight between Georgina Downer and Rebecca Sharkey, the Centre Alliance candidate who held the seat. But the Labor Party primary vote there, we talk about the LNP in Longman at 28%. The Labor Party in Mayo got 6% of the vote.
Because all the Labor people voted for Rebecca Sharkey to get change. This is a Liberal seat. It's a jewel in the crown. It is one of. It's in the list of the top 10 Liberal seats in history. That's how secure it is for the Liberal Party. So what tends to happen in seats like this is the Labor Party vote migrates to any particular candidate that has a show of knocking off the Liberal incumbent. So I don't think it's any reflection on the Labor Party, the level of the Labor vote in Mayo. People moved over tactically to see if they could stop a downer getting back. I mean, this result in some ways is more frightening for elements of the LNP or the Liberal Party than the Longman result. If they can't hold a seat like Mayo, they may be in trouble in other core seats around the country.
So Georgina Downer, extremely high profile, obviously part of the Downer dynasty, as no one has managed to escape.
The aristocracy, I think, would be a better way of putting it.
Yeah, the primary vote swing against her was 1.5% or something. It's not as if she was disastrous as a candidate. Do you think that
I don't see necessarily she's disastrous as a candidate, but I think what it is a reflection of a rejection of the Liberal Party establishment in South Australia, which will be pretty frightening to other areas who may be vulnerable to these sorts of insurgent candidates like Rebecca Sharkey.
So where do you see then the real battlegrounds as we look forward to an election? We're now pretty certain it's going to be next year. There's very little incentive there for the Prime Minister to call one for later on this year. Where do you see it happening? Give us your assessment of that.
Oh, it's undoubtedly in Queensland. And Western Australia, because that's where the lowest percentages of lower house Labor seats are. So there are only 8 Labor seats in Queensland out of 30-odd.
So is there anything at all out of that Queensland result, and even just the feedback that the candidates were getting on the ground, that the party workers were getting on the ground in around Longman, is there any new nuanced sense of, if Queensland is the battleground, of what you need to do, how you might need to finesse a message?
I think given some of the rubbish that's been in the media about our political prospects over the last 3 months or so, I think this reaffirms the course that Bill Shorten and his front bench and the parliamentary party have set for Labor over the last few years, and it's a course of I think courageous policy that has been put forward to address underlying and long-term challenges in the economy, and which will deliver stronger but fairer growth. And we've taken what some people would see as risky political decisions in that process. And from my point of view, the very satisfying thing to see is that, you know, the Labor argument, which is very much just a centre-left argument, people seem to, the government is desperate to somehow present us as being, you know, over to one extreme. The only extremism going on in Australian politics at the moment is coming out of the LNP. We've got a very solid program for stronger growth with greater equity and fairness in our society. And I think that's producing the sort of result we saw in Longman.
So if you think you've got the policy settings about where you want them to be, do you feel that the polling indicates that Labor at the moment is succeeding despite the lack of personal popularity attached?
No, I think this is just Hugh, I really think this is a nonsense argument. The fact is that Bill Shorten, and I don't like quoting polls, but I will for the purposes of this argument, because that's what other people do. He has been in front for a record number of opinion polls. I mean, there's no other opposition leader that has been in front in the opinion polls for longer than Bill Shorten. And people keep saying, oh no, but he's unpopular, as if the fact that the party vote is not reflective of the hard work and dedicated leadership that this man has delivered to the country.
It sounds like a ringing endorsement for Bill Shorten going into the next election, as you'd expect from the national president of the Labor Party, Wayne Swan. Thank you very much for getting up for us this morning.
Pleasure.
As we look back through the Super Saturday by-election results.